All right, well, let's just open up in a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that it was written many years ago, but it still applies to us today and still challenges us today on the way that we are living our lives as devoted followers of you. And I preach up here to myself as much as I preach to anyone else here this morning, Lord. So pray that you would just take the words I've prepared and use them to speak your truths to us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, at the beginning of this year, I started a new Bible reading plan called F260. It's by Replicate Ministry. It's quite a good Bible reading plan. It's just one reading a day with a couple memory verses for the week. And in my plan, I'm getting towards the end of Genesis. And as I've been reading through my plan, something different stood out to me this time that hasn't really stood out to me that much before in the past. See, I know as Christians, we have been taught that God has standards or laws that tell us what is good and what is bad, tells us what we should or shouldn't be doing. Things like murder, we can all agree that we shouldn't be doing that. It's not good to murder. Or things like rape, child abuse, or even stealing. These are some of the things that we all agree are wrong. And there's no way that you can make them right, no matter what the reason they are wrong. And see, I always thought that it was more in the recent years that Christians had come to this place where we started to develop these group of sins that are seen as not as bad as some of the ones I've already mentioned. These are the groups of sins that are maybe a little bit more acceptable, or maybe they're justifiable in our lives, or they're so commonly taking place in the world that we just say that they're a part of human nature, whether you're a Christian or not. Maybe we could refer to them as an ease of life sins, or as our sermon title today is, maybe we could refer to them as necessary sins. And one of these necessary sins, as Colin has already alluded to, is lying. And this is the thing that stood out to me from my Bible reading plan from the beginning of this year. The number of times that I came across key people in God's story just blatantly lying. Examples are Cain, who lied about killing Abel, lying straight to God. Abraham lied to the Egyptians. He also lied to King Abimelech. Sarah lied to God. Isaac lied to the men of Gerar. Jacob lied to his father Isaac. Jacob's sons lied to him about his youngest son Joseph. And this is all within the first chapter of the Bible. So, bit of confession time. Hands up if you've ever told a lie. Anyone? Look around. Those that don't have their hands up are telling lies now. So, but no. But it's true. Colin has already mentioned a little bit. I've told a lie as well. It's unbelievable, I know. But we, about a month ago, we discovered that we have, or had one mouse at the time, I thought, in our house. And me and Shamila, we were relaxing, just watching TV one night in our bed. And then out of the corner of my eye, something just darted across down the skirting board. I was like, oh, that was nothing. Maybe it was just the TV changing colour or whatever it was. And then later again it happened, and oh, it startled me. And so much that I woke up Shamila. And Shamila, if you know Shamila, she has a little bit of a fear and anxiety around not just mice, but all sorts of animals. The smaller they are, actually, the higher I think the anxiety is. And so she's like, what's that, what's that, what's that? And here I am, it's in about 1 o'clock in the morning, and I'm like, what do we do? What do I tell Shamila? And so I was like, all right, I'll be honest. Okay, it's a mouse, there's a mouse in the house. And she's like, all right, get all the traps out, get everything out. So jump out of bed, in the middle of the night, try not to wake the kids up, getting the traps set, setting them up. And then she starts asking questions. She's like, will we be up? Will be okay on the bed? Will the mouse be able to get up here? Can the mouse climb? Can the mouse do this? Can the mouse do that? And then here I am, it's about 1:30, 2 o'clock now, still not asleep, and I'm thinking, do I want to get to sleep or do I need to tell Shamila the truth? So I turned to her, I said, no, we're completely fine. Mice can't get off the ground. They just run around the ground and they just stay down there. And it was great. We eventually got to sleep. Okay, that mouse got caught in the trap. But then 3 weeks later, we've now got baby mice in the house, unfortunately. And Shamila was telling one of her friends, she's, oh, we're just trying to get rid of this mice and we just can't. And then her friend starts telling her, oh, you know, they can get up here and get up here and do this and do that. And so my lie unfolded and I got in a lot of trouble. But we've had the pest control come through and they're still in our house, but they should be gone soon. But lying is something that doesn't have to be taught to us. If you have kids as well, as Colin shared in our children's talk this morning, you know that lying can start as soon as we can say the word no. Did you eat the chocolate? No. Did you draw on the wall? Who broke the window? And studies show that as early as the age of 2 or 3, we start lying. There's other studies that also show that actually women lie an average of 3 times a day. And if you work that out, that becomes 1,000 times a year. Now, men, before our heads start inflating too much, we ourselves actually double that a year. So that's 6 times a day. So it's clear from scriptures that I've read in Genesis and I'm sure you've read. It's clear from our life experience that since sin has entered the world, humanity has struggled with lying. Whether we are doing it to maybe save our appearance or maybe to shift the blame or to avoid confrontation, or maybe we're just trying to be nice to someone or make ourselves feel better. We all do it. And we can't deny it, which almost makes it seem acceptable, or maybe it even is necessary, but does that make it right? Well, missed that one. God hates lying. So no, it doesn't make it right. In Proverbs 12, verses 22, it says, "The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in those who tell the truth." Now, the definition of detest is to feel abhorrence of or to hate or dislike intensely. God hates lying. But it's interesting that he not only hates lying, but he hates it in such a way that makes him feel disgusted. Like, I don't know about you, but I know the things that make me feel disgusting lead me to want to vomit, make me feel so uneasy and queasy. And I think that is the purpose of what the writer of Proverbs wants us to understand on how God feels about lying. Even though we might be okay with it, we're in a place where we can tell a little white lie here and there, live side by side by it, but it's clear that it makes God sick seeing us lie so freely. And this makes a little bit more sense when we consider God's number one adversary, Satan. In John 8:44, it says this about him. It says, "For you are the children of your father, the devil. You love to do the evil things he does. He was a murderer from the beginning. He has always hated the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and he is the father of lies." Because of Satan's work in the Garden of Eden, lying is now a part of our human nature. So we want to do it, and quite often we just end up saying, well, it's just a part of life. And that makes it necessary. Yet all the while, God is saying that this makes me vomit, I'm disgusted and detest this. So in order to help us overcome this necessary sin, we're going to look at how we lie, and then we want to look at why we lie. So at the end of this message, hopefully we can have some transparency in our lives, in particular for ourselves, with the Holy Spirit to allow it to come and do its work in us. So the first thing we want to look at is how do we lie? And there's really three different ways that we actually lie. The first one is more of an obvious one to us, but the other two are not as obvious as we might think. So the first way that we lie is we lie to others. This is a pretty obvious one. And in Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 4 and 5, it says clearly, it says, "Beware of your neighbor. Don't even trust your brother. For brothers take advantage of brothers, and friend slanders friend. They all fool and defraud each other. No one tells the truth. With practiced tongues, they tell lies. They wear themselves out with all their sinning." We lie to each other. We tell our partners that they look great when they come out in that third outfit after getting changed, ready for dinner. Or we lie to our boss and we tell him, "Oh, traffic was just so bad this morning," when really you slept through your alarm. Or we lie about our weight, we lie about our height, we lie about our dieting, and the list can go on and on about the things that we lie. But remember though, in Romans 3:23, it says, "For everyone has sinned and we all fall short of God's glorious standards." So even as a pastor myself and Colin and other church leaders all over the world, we also battle with this. We aren't exempt because we're up the front. We do this because it's a part of our human nature. It's built into us to protect ourselves, to save our appearance. Another way we lie, though, is we don't just lie to others, but we lie to God. And this is a little bit of a harder one to comprehend, because if you know about God, you know that He is all-knowing. He knows everything, even before we say it. So it seems a little bit pointless for us to just lie to God. But maybe think about it this way. When we misrepresent God and His truth, we aren't now just lying to people, but we are lying to God. It could be maybe that you go out partying hard on Saturday night, yet then you come to church on a Sunday morning, you get up and you praise and worship, or you lead worship, whatever it might be. Or maybe you're leading a small group during the week, but you're in the middle of having an affair at work. When we are misrepresenting God, we aren't just lying to the people, but we are also lying to God. And there is a prime example of this in Scripture in Acts chapter 5, where the church had just come together in support of those who were in need. And they were selling all their possessions, everything they had, and now all coming and giving it to the church so that it could be shared amongst those that were in need. And now there was one couple who thought that they would sell their house, sell it, and they thought, all right, we're just going to do what everyone else is doing. And they came to the church and they said, "This is the money that we got for our house. This is all of it." Yet, unbeknownst to everyone there, they had kept a portion of the amount of the house they sold for their own. And we see in chapter 4, Peter actually sheds light on the situation. He says, "The property was yours to sell or not to sell, as you wished. And after selling it, the money was also yours to give away. How could you do a thing like this? You weren't lying to us, but to God." So we don't only lie to others, we lie to God. But then the third one is we also lie to ourselves. In Psalm 119, verses 27 to 29, it says, "Help me understand the meaning of your commandments, and I will meditate on your wonderful deeds. I weep with sorrow. Encourage me by your word. Keep me from lying to myself. Give me the privilege of knowing your instructions. Lying to ourselves is something that's commonly attached with addictions. Addictions to pornography, gaming, alcohol, drugs, gambling, smoking. And the first lie often comes in that form of denial. When we're challenged, when someone says, oh, I think you might be struggling with it. No, I'm not struggling with that. I'm not addicted. But it doesn't just stop with addictions. Sadly, relationships is another big one. In 2021, there were 56,244 divorces in Australia alone. And many of these are because of poor or lack of communication. Oftentimes where no one is willing to admit that the problem isn't only in their partner, but it might be in themselves as well. And that's where we have the most common lie that many of us here have probably told or heard, is that I'm fine, I'm okay, everything's okay, nothing's wrong. And sadly, many people, not only in their relationships with other humans, but are also in a similar place with their relationship with God. They're deceived by the world, thinking that if somebody just knows me as a Christian or calls me a Christian, that's enough. But in 1 John 2 verses 4, it says, if someone claims, I know God, but does not obey God's commandments, that person is a liar and is not living in the truth. And this is something that I actually don't think the church does a good enough job in explaining to new and young believers in particular. As I know, when I was 16 years old, I was serving in the church, I was on the sound desk, setting up, packing up, I was helping lead small groups in youth group, getting mentored by a youth worker, but all the while I was being deceived. Externally, everything seemed right. I was ticking all the boxes of a Christian, but my heart and my spirit wasn't. And it went on like this for a number of years. And there's a famous Christian rap artist called Propaganda. Some of you might have heard of him. But he says this kind of experience is basically like spraying cologne on a corpse and thinking that it doesn't stink. So how do we lie? We lie to others, we lie to God, and we lie to ourselves. But the next question is, why do we lie? Why do we prefer to tell the truth why do we prefer to lie than tell the truth 3 to 6 times a day? And one of the most common reasons, as I refer to in my own mouse lie, is that it just makes life easier. It makes things happen the way we want. We lie to make ourselves feel good. We lie to get out of trouble. We lie sometimes with good intentions because we think we're not hurting the people by telling them the truth. But what happens is that these lies might start out small. They might start out meaningless, like our good intentions. And then we tell one lie. But then in order to keep that lie from being found out, we have to tell another lie. And then we start telling so many lies that the lies that we're telling start to become a truth that we believe. And then that turns into a snowball that is out of control. And it feels like at that point that we have no other choice but to lie. But what is the reason for you? What is the reason that we lie? Think about this. I lie because, and then fill in the blank. For me, when I was younger, I lied because I cared what other people thought about me. I wasn't super popular and I wanted people to like me, so I lied. But now, as I've matured and grown up, The reason I'd say that I probably lie today when I do is because at that moment, I believe that the lie I'm telling is better than the truth. But maybe for you, maybe it's to protect others or to make yourself look better. Or maybe you don't like the truth that you'd have to tell. Or you don't like the life you're living, so you tell a lie. Or you're afraid of what people might think if you told them the truth. Or maybe you think by lying it brings security in your life. But in reality, it makes you more and more insecure. Or maybe you lie because you think it might make people like you more. Like in a relationship, you think, oh, this person will only like me if I tell these lies. But the truth is, no relationship, whether it's with a person or with God, can be based on lies. Why is this such a natural thing for us to want to do? Well, it's our safety net. It's something that we fall back on when things get hard or out of hand. Even once we've become a Christian, we know that it doesn't get any easier. We still seem to struggle with lying. Remember, though, that the enemy that we face every day is Satan, and he is the father of lies. And so just as God delights in us telling the truth, he delights in when we fall in our safety net, when we lie. He takes pleasure in seeing us spin these stories of lies on top of lies on top of lies. Because the truth is, the more we lie, the less room there is for truth in our life. And that is the devil's greatest power. So why do we lie? Well, I just want to show us with a little illustration. I just need two helpers. If we could have two people that are happy to stand and hold a sign. Thanks, David. Anyone else? Seeing as you're first, you can be the truth. Sorry, Tristan. So if you want to stand over here, David. So, all right, so here we have. We've got the truth here. And most of us in the world, we think when we think about the truth, we think about telling the truth. It's actually something that we do. But we know that the truth is more. It's not just a thing, but it's an actual person. The truth is Jesus. And so we have Jesus over here who's perfect. And as Colin said, he's the way, the truth, and the life, and the way that we should be living. And in reality here, we have ourselves. And maybe we have sometimes, just stay there, Tristan, sometimes this is maybe the selves that we project to everyone else by maybe the lies that we tell, the masks that we put on. But let's say in reality, this is our true self if all the lies and all transparency was there. As we want to get closer to Jesus, we need to take on more truths. But as we know from life, we tell a lie because we think that by telling a lie that it moves ourselves closer to Jesus because people see us as better. Like, oh, I read my Bible. I've read the whole Bible 100 times. And we think we're more holy. But in reality, if you want to take a step that way, Tristan, it's the lie that we're telling makes us think we're here. But in reality, we're moving further and further away from Jesus. But how do we get back to the truth? Well, firstly, thank God for the scriptures, because there are so many truths in there that have been written for us to help us draw closer to Jesus. And a prime example is like when we believe truly that our sins are forgiven. When we believe that, then we move closer to Jesus. Or when we realize that we have received the righteousness from Christ, not because of the things we've said or the things that we've done, but because of his death on the cross, we then move closer to Jesus. And when we believe his truth, his freedom sets us free, we continue to move closer to the truth and closer to Jesus. And as it says, as we continue over our years, like sometimes we might tell a lie, we might move backwards, but as we keep getting into the scriptures, we keep hearing God's truths, coming to church, joining in small groups, praying, we continue to move closer to God. And we realize that we don't have to lie anymore. We don't have to tell these little white lies that we think are drawing us closer to God, which we think are making things better, when we can just tell the truth. And as it says in John 8:32, it says, "Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Thanks, Tristan. Go. I set you free. No. Thanks, guys. Give him a hand. Thank you. When you know the truth, and the truth being Jesus Christ, the truth will set you free. But the reality is, as I've said, and from our illustration, that this isn't just a once-off thing. We don't just get set free and then it's done. That's something we need to be reminded of daily. We need to be set free from our sinful nature, that desire to want to sin. Because we know from Scripture and from experience that Satan is always on the prowl. In this illustration, they're up here, and just imagine Satan hunting around, looking for places to draw Tristan away from that truth, or to draw us away from the truth, so that we will fall back into those lies. So instead of believing that our lies that we are telling are better than the love, the security, the grace, and the mercy that God has for us, we need to be reminded of those truths. And so one thing that we have in our house, which has been an incredible blessing, it's one of those boards from Kmart where you can put all the different letters, and on it's a blackboard with white letters. And we've got it, and we've had it for a number of years now, and we have put this verse on there. And it's a verse that I want to encourage us to just reflect on this week, as we want to draw closer to the truth in our lives. And that verse is Psalm 139, verses 23 to 24. And it's such a good verse. And from David, as he wrote it, and he says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts." And the challenging, just convicting one, every time I walk past it, is point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. We know that the closer we are to God, the less that we will feel like we need to lie, because His truth will set us free. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you, Lord, that as much as all of us here are sinners and we've fallen short of your glorious standards, Lord, that you have provided means for us to be able to continue to draw closer to you, despite our sinful nature, despite the struggles that we go through, Lord. You've given us a church family to support us and encourage us and walk beside us. You've given us your word to teach us, to rebuke us and turn us back to your truth. And I just pray, Lord, as we continue to struggle this throughout the rest of our lives, that you would just remind us of your truths in the scriptures, that you would remind us of the love and security that we find in you, and that we find through speaking the truth in our own lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.